1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. The world woke up to the news.
Israel launched Operation Rising Lion.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu reporting around 200 Israeli warplanes had attacked Iran's nuclear program and killed several Iranian generals. Tehran confirms the head of the Revolutionary Guard's missile program was among them. CBS's Robert Berger is in Jerusalem.
Israeli officials say the Mossad spy agency infiltrated Iran before the attack. It is said to have smuggled in drones and other precision weapons that were used to target defense systems and missile launchers.
Iran's supreme leader is promising severe punishment for the attack, and we've heard from President Trump today. CBS's Margaret Brennan.
The president's tweet just this morning suggests the Iranian regime can only save itself by making a deal. So he's making this sound like this is not just about setting back their nuclear program.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlell. One of the big stories during the Wisconsin Supreme Court race this year was Elon Musk giving out cash to voters. Now some voters are suing, saying that Musk bribed voters. Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
Musk gave $100 to registered voters who signed a petition, and they also had a chance to win $1 million. Initially, Musk framed it as basically a thank you for voting, but he deleted a post where he said that, then later said people were eligible for signing that petition against activist judges. Eventually, Musk handed over $2 million checks to two Wisconsin voters. Attorney General Josh Call filed a lawsuit asking judges to stop Musk's plan just before it happened, but the state Supreme Court declined to hear the case. Now, the election watchdog nonprofit Wisconsin Democracy Campaign has filed a lawsuit accusing Musk of bribing voters. The group is asking the courts to declare that Musk and the PAC he's affiliated with broke the law, have them pay damages, and bar anyone from doing this in the future in Wisconsin. The suit also claims Musk was running an illegal lottery. State law bans anyone from giving someone more than a dollar to incentivize them to vote or to vote for a specific person.
Meanwhile, Attorney General Josh Call says President Donald Trump is deploying the military to protests in California is unlawful. Wisconsin has joined a group of states filing briefs pushing back against what Call says is, quote, not normal and must not become normalized. Call says the president's decree to call up the National Guard isn't specific to Los Angeles or California. It's authorizing the military anywhere for 60 days. Call's brief argues states need their National Guard units to be ready to act, and responding to protesters could keep them from performing vital duties. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
It's the Brewers and the Redbirds. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Game 2 of the Brewers and Cardinals tonight. The crew with a 6-0 shutout of the Cards last night, thanks to Jacob Mizorowski in his first major league start. One of his fastballs measured at 102 miles per hour. Meanwhile, Aaron Civale upset he's being moved from the starting rotation to the bullpen and says he wants to be traded.
There's no ill will towards anybody in the city. It's been a great home to me and my wife for the past year. I know there's probably going to be some animosity towards this type of thing. There's a negative connotation when this type of thing comes around, but just trying to do what's best.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy responded.
I mean, we deal with players being unhappy all the time, and that's their right to do, and Aaron's got a great history, and he's performed well for this organization, and now it's time for him to go behave.
In college football, the Wisconsin Badgers fined by the NCAA for some recruitment violations, making calls to prospective players before the start date 2 years ago. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Partly to mostly cloudy with a chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms today. Our high in the mid to upper 60s this afternoon. Scattered storms tonight with a low in the upper 40s to low 50s tomorrow. Scattered showers and thunderstorms with a high in the upper 60s to low 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
State Representative Christian Phelps.
As somebody who's in my first term in the legislature, one of the striking things is how seldom the majority party speaks with us. I don't know how many of my colleagues personally feel LGBTQ people don't deserve freedom, but that's kind of irrelevant at the end of the day. They've already spent a number of days attacking trans people because those are days they don't have to spend defending their very unpopular economic agenda.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll be live from WGBW in Green Bay, Wisconsin, along with the morning crew here, Mino and the Mayor. Find out all things Green Bay. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4. Full Falls Radio, WXCO.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. It's nice to have you here up north on this Friday morning, Friday the 13th of June, 2025. And coming up, of course, on Fridays, it'll be our Week in Review panel with Chicago journalists Mark Jacob, Jennifer Schulze, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. By the way, I neglected to mention last hour, folks would normally hear Courier Newsroom's Kiev Akil. He's on vacation this week, which is why we played back some of our interview with Senate Democratic leader Dianne Hesselbein about the state budget. But I think we have Kia back next week. I forget how long his vacation goes here. But we will have our regular Week in Review panel here. And then 1 hour from now, we will be interviewing Chris Taylor, Judge Chris Taylor, candidate for Wisconsin Supreme Court, potential candidate to go up against far-right Justice Rebecca Bradley in next year's state Supreme Court race in April. Dr. Kristen Lyerly will join us for that. And then just after 8:30, Mike Clemens will be here. A lot of weekend sports to go over, including the big debut last night for a Brewers pitching phenom who was pitching lights out until he rolled his ankle. So we'll have an update on that coming up as well. So much still ahead, including the weekend forecast from meteorologist Brittany Merlot. And as I'm looking at the river of rain on the radar here, Brittany, it stretches from roughly Duluth to La Crosse. It's that wide and yep. Stretches way back into the mountains pretty much. I mean, it's just this river of rain that's going to pour right over Wisconsin for a while.
Yes, unfortunately. I mean, we've already picked up a half an inch to an inch and a half to places far west already. And this is just the start of it. So we've got another half an inch to an inch to go today, maybe another half an inch still tomorrow as well. And then we could still see some a little bit linger. And we've got rain, honestly, as we go into the entire next week too. So a very, very active, unsettled pattern. And of course, cloudy skies for a majority of the state. There is spots of sunshine far south along the state line, Madison, Milwaukee area. You could see that as well. So you have chances to stay dry. More sunshine south. That rain is going to continue to pour up north as we go through our day today, becoming moderate to heavy at times. A few rumbles of thunder are also possible as well. And then by this afternoon, a few scattered storms could pop up in the southern areas. Now, it's a smaller chance, but there is that chance. So heads up for that. Otherwise, you're staying dry. Highs today will make it only to the mid-50s where it's raining, mid-70s far south. And as we go to tomorrow morning, spotty rain lingers far northeast. We are looking at some more showers and storms sparking up far northwest in the afternoon and then rolling through the state through the evening. Highs tomorrow will be about 60 degrees up north, 80 degrees down south. So if you're looking for the summer weather and some sunshine, southern parts is where it's at. But everyone is going to be dry on Sunday. Highs in the 70s statewide. But I'll tell you what, heads up, Monday, get that AC ready. It's going to start to get pretty hot and humid with some stronger to severe storms possible. This week, nothing to worry about.
this is more of a nuisance, yeah. And then the hot and humid comes back. But for Absolutely. Now, nothing like that rain with a stiff east wind slapping it right in your face there.
Oh, I know. But you know what? That east wind yesterday, I think it cut off a lot of the rainfall for a lot of the state for a while. So it actually helped a little bit. But now, here it is.
All right. By the way, your Scotty Summer text to win keyword is coming up in just a moment or two here. First, to pass along on YouTube, Cassandra talking about in our last segment, my husband still sews because his mom taught him. He made an anatomically correct heart for me to take to work. That's very sweet.
I would like to know your profession.
What's that?
I would like to know your profession, Cassandra, because a correct heart.
Anatomically correct heart. It could be fun, you know? So anyway, yes, men should learn to sew too. Good morning from Tigerton, writes Rob. Light rain, windy, 48 degrees, 4/10 of an inch of rain. Mowed 2 yards in the town of Germania. They were big yards. I had a Big Mac salad at Blazer's Bar and Grill in Split Rock. It was very good. He says, when the Breakfast Club came out in 1984, I was a junior in high school. Remember seeing that movie in Wausau. Definitely jacket type of weather. A northeast wind makes it feel a lot colder. And then concludes by saying, maybe next week you play that Supertramp song, It's Raining Again, for the next week.
But yes, that's perfect, Rob.
Yes. Oh, and Cassandra is an ICU nurse.
Okay. This is an acceptable thing, though. Okay.
It totally tracks. Yes, exactly. All right, Brittany, thanks. We'll talk to you in the next hour.
Sounds good.
Let's get that Scotty Summer text to win contest all done. Final day of it today. Statewide contest on nearly every Civic Media station. We're 4 times a day. You can win $100 cash or a pair of Brewers tickets, club level, great seats. And every entry puts you in the drawing for one of the grand prizes. There's a Wisconsin Dells Baraboo area getaway and one in Door County as well. Some gas money to get you there. Each time throughout the day, including 3 more times after this before the contest ends, different keywords, text them to us through the Civic Media app. Go to the app, go to one of the stations, use the text button, text us this hour's keyword. And this hour's keyword for a pair of Brewers tickets, the keyword is water. Again, water, W-A-T-E-R, water is the keyword for a pair of Brewers tickets. You have until the end of this hour to text that in, and then you will be eligible for this hour's prize of the Brewers tickets and the grand prize drawings as well. And only 3 more chances to play, 11 a.m., 2 p.m., 4 p.m., different keywords each time. Again, for a pair of Brewers tickets, the keyword to text in is water, W-A-T-E-R. I love that we're giving away the Brewers tickets. These are such good seats, and I'm pretty sure that once the Scotty Summer Text to Win contest is done, we will be going back to where we do some free ticket Fridays for Brewers games. So you'll want to be listening on Fridays throughout the summer here as we try to get you in the seats there at American Family Field. A lot of folks were there last night to see the debut of the Brewers' top pitching prospect, Jacob Mizorowski, 23 years old, making his major league debut last night against the St. Louis Cardinals. And I thought it was pretty cool that he set him down 1-2-3 in the first inning. Second inning, he faced 3 batters, but he needed a double play because he had a walk. And then there were still no hits after 3 innings, no hits after 4 innings. I'm like, this guy's just pitched his first 4 innings of Major League Baseball, no hits. 5 innings, still no hits. At that point, at the place where I'm sitting and kind of looking at the game on my phone, I'm like, guys, this kid has a no-hitter going through 5. Comes out for the 6th inning. I mean, this kid's throwing 100 miles, 101, 102 miles an hour. 102 miles an hour. Comes in, throws a few on the 6th inning, rolls his ankle, says he's feeling cramping in his right leg, and leaves the game with a no-hitter into the 6th inning. Apparently not serious. We will talk to Mike Clemens about that coming up next hour as the Brewers continue their series with the St. Louis Cardinals. Again, the Brewers did win. They brought the bats out. 6-0 was the final. A nice home run by Jackson Churio among the scoring. The series continues against the Cardinals in Milwaukee. Coverage begins at 6:35 on several Civic Media stations, Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, Hayward. So again, tune in on the radio. Head over to the Civic Media website to learn more. For folks that are following the Stanley Cup Finals and who have to go to bed early, like me, thinking that Florida was going to win another one. They were up 3-0 after the first period. Edmonton came all the way back, even took the lead. And then Florida tied it up with 20 seconds left in regulation. So they went to overtime. And Edmonton was your winner, 5-4 in overtime. The Stanley Cup Finals are tied at 2 games apiece. Game 5 is tomorrow in Edmonton. The NBA Finals tip off tonight, Game 4 in Indiana, where Indiana has a 2-1 lead over Oklahoma City. And then we've got the WIAA Girls Softball Championships in play in Madison right now. We've got Packers mini camp to talk about with Mike Clemens as well. Jordan Love getting married. Aaron Rodgers getting married. There's just so much to cover here. Oh, and a Brewers pitcher once is demanding a trade as well. So we got a lot to talk about here with Mike when we meet up with him after our interview with Chris Taylor and Dr. Kristen Lyerly joining us as well. If you missed it, also in the last hour, we basically gave you an update on the legislature and trying to craft a state budget. We mentioned at the start of the week that Republicans basically walked away from the negotiating table. Governor Evers was willing to meet them when it came to a tax cut plan. They were not willing to meet him in doing the things a state budget is supposed to do, like support our schools. And so you saw that reflected in what the Joint Finance Committee did yesterday, where they worked on their tax cut plan, and they worked on a special education spending plan that does increase the state's reimbursement for special education to public schools, but not nearly to the level that would be needed to end what is an endless string of school referendums going on around the state. Republicans are looking at the dollar amount and saying, look, we voted to increase special education funding by more than $200 million. Governor Evers was saying, yeah, it actually, you need to add another $900 million more to make schools whole and to end this endless cycle of referendums. But set aside the dollar amounts for a moment and just look at the reimbursement rate at which, you know, the state will help school districts for that larger price tag that comes with special education. Back in 1980, I learned from Molly Beck in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, in 1980, the state reimbursed 2/3 of the cost of special education, 66%. It had come down to about 30%. And then it came up in the last budget to 32%. And Governor Evers said, look, can we at least get back to 60%? Let's get to 60%, help out with special education costs, especially since Republicans reimburse voucher schools at 90%. 90% reimbursement for special education for voucher schools. The governor said, could we at least get to 60? Because we're at 32 right now. Republicans were like those guys in the pawn shop show going, best we can do is 37.5. So that's what they voted on, 37.5, which enables them to say, look at the millions and millions of dollars we put into it, without acknowledging they're hundreds of millions of dollars short. And so you, dear property taxpayer, will continue making up the difference, even as Republican legislators sit on a state surplus of $4 billion. Now, Republicans did work on their tax cut plan as well. And according to Jesse O'Poyne's story in the Journal Sentinel, it means about 1.5 million Wisconsinites will pay lower income taxes. The Republicans are allocating about $1.3 billion to it. It does expand the state's second lowest tax bracket. So it does not seem like an unreasonable tax cut plan. But again, the real story is the governor said, yeah, this isn't what I'd write, but I can go along with this. Now, how about you guys help out our schools that you've been underfunding for 16 years? And Republicans said, no, it's something, it's a shortfall they would just as soon perpetuate. And that's what we have happening right now. All right, still ahead, we'll be talking with our Week in Review panel, Mark Jacob, Jim Santel, Jennifer Schulze, later Judge Chris Taylor, running for Supreme Court, Kristen Lierley, Mike Clemens, all from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Matt Nair on Air.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Paul.
We're from the Wausau Business Show, 100% action-packed Wausau every Saturday, 8 to 9 on Bull Falls 98.9 WXCO. We're also available on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts.
You're nailing it. Keep going.
WausauBusiness.com. We broadcast from the tippy top of Rib Mountain. So we'll see you Saturday, Wausaunians.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening and loving Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
Pop
Lakeland Care is proud to be named one of the top workplaces in Wisconsin for 2025. But what really sets us apart is our commitment to providing personalized support for frail elders and adults with disabilities. Our care teams go above and beyond to help our members live their best lives with dignity and independence. Interested in becoming a member? Visit your local Aging and Disability Resource Center to see if you qualify. To learn more, visit www.lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Ken, as I like to call him, my least favorite Martin.
Chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
The other night I said to myself for the first time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Matt Flynn.
You go into combat and the general goes, I'm afraid. He reminds me of the coach of the Jets back in the 90s. The other team would come on the field and say, boy, they look big. No, I swear to God. And the Jets lost 12 games. I mean, right? You can't have this kind of stuff. Get this guy out of here. Put in Ben Wickler.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by US Aging.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Morning. It is Friday the 13th, June the 13th of 2025. The time is 7:23, a bit of a dreary start here in north central Wisconsin today. It's overcast, a few raindrops falling, and temperature only 49 degrees. It was a bit of a drencher last evening all night long as I was laying in bed. I could hear the rain coming down pretty hard outside my window, and it looks as though over the next number of days, as we heard from Brittany Merlot just a few minutes ago, that we can expect the wet weather to continue. We'll continue to update you on the weather. But it's great to be back here for our local segments, which we do at 22 and 52 minutes after the hour in the 7 and 8 o'clock hours each and every day during Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. I am Chad Holmes, joined by our in-studio engineer and producer, Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
Well, before I talk a little bit about a couple of different issues, I want to remind folks that today is the final day of our Scani Summer statewide text to win contest. So today is your final opportunity to win either tickets to see the Milwaukee Brewers at American Family Field or to win $100 in cold hard cash. You have four more opportunities today, and we are starting things off with this morning
this hour, the 7 o'clock hour, a couple of tickets to see the Brewers at American Family Field. And between now and 8 o'clock, just text the word water, and it's a good word here for today, water, by going to the Civic Media app, opening up the 98.9 WXCO part of the app, and don't have to put anything else in. We'll know how to get a hold of you once you're drawn as the winner. Just send the word water, W-A-T-E-R, and please, when you open up the Civic Media app, pick the 98.9 WXCO part of the app because it makes us look better.
Please.
But if you then send it in, you'll be part of the drawing for this hour. I mean, only people that text the word water this hour will be part of that drawing to win a couple of Brewers tickets. But coming up three more times today, you'll have a couple of chances to win $100 in cash, another chance to win Brewer tickets either in the 11 o'clock hour, the 2 p.m. hour, and the 4 p.m. hour. And then at the end of 4 o'clock, at 5 o'clock, that will be the end of our text to win contest. Even if you haven't won any of the hourly prizes, if you have been sending in your text with the keywords during the course of the last 2 weeks, you, as many times as you texted in, you will be part of the final drawing, a chance to win some terrific grand prizes, as we will be taking everybody, and somehow with the computers these days, you're able to make it easy. You don't have to write down everybody's names and stuff like that and draw out of a big barrel.
Just make it a little easier.
Exactly right. But everybody that texted in during the last 2 weeks will then be part of our grand prize drawings of a Wisconsin Dells area vacation or a Door County getaway as well. So make sure that you take your advantage of the opportunities here today in this hour between now and 8 o'clock, so a little more than half an hour's time. Make sure you send in the text keyword water, and then make sure you listen during Tom Hartman at 11 o'clock, Todd Alba during the 2 o'clock hour, and Maggie Dawn during the 4 o'clock hour for your final opportunities to win the hourly prizes and then get involved in the grand prize drawing as well. It's our Civic Media Scani Summer Statewide Text to Win Contest. I was saying about the weather, and if you come downtown Wausau, if you walk downtown Wausau, you see all the umbrellas on 3rd Street. You know, we are here at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau. But every summer, it really is something when you walk down 3rd Street to see all those umbrellas. It really, you know, it's finally summertime when the umbrellas are above the street. I mean, many umbrellas are above the street. And if you have not come downtown Wausau yet in the last few days, come on down this weekend or early next week. Bring your umbrella, I would guess, to try to stay dry. But I love the way that the downtown area looks with all those umbrellas.
It's really cool.
It really is. And
especially with all the different colors too.
Yes, I mean, it really it's something that, you know, just makes you feel better. And I think during this era, anything that makes you feel better is a definite good thing.
Absolutely.
Also coming up, we're going to talk a little bit more about this weekend. I think it's a very significant weekend, and please, I know what my plans are for the Saturday noon time to 2 p.m. Mm-hmm. time. It's the No Kings rally. We'll have more information on that coming up. But I find it's going to be exceptionally interesting to see the comparison of the turnouts and the attention that is given to the two big events tomorrow.
Yeah.
The one event is, of course, the new No Kings rallies that are being held not just here in North Central Wisconsin, but throughout
all
the country.
Over the country.
I mean, there's talk about millions of people being involved from coast to coast. And
which
then, of course,
really good thing to hear.
Absolutely. So, but then, of course, you have as well the military parade
with you know who as the guest of honor, because it's also his birthday.
It's Donald Trump's birthday tomorrow. So. No, well, no, what better way to celebrate your own birthday by spending millions and millions of dollars holding a military parade to make you look like some sort of tin pot dictator.
It will be interesting to see what the numbers are compared to the two events.
Exactly. So coming up here, we're going to give you more information. Make sure you know exactly what to do tomorrow in terms of being involved. And I think when we talk about democracy, it's about being involved. And this is one of those instances. I think, again, I said this to Nancy Stensel yesterday during our conversation, that we're at a tipping point here in this country. people have to stand up, because if you don't, then all of a sudden the whole idea of democracy, of the voice of the people, is going to slip away even further. So again, a very important day tomorrow. And we're going to talk more about that coming up. The Week in Review panel, I'm sure that will be one of the topics. The military parade will be talked about next. The Week in Review panel coming up with Pat Kreitlow right after an information update. It's almost 7:30, 49 degrees in downtown Wausau. Good morning from 98.9 WXCO.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Yes, consumers are paying more for beef at the grocery store, but it has not changed their consumption patterns. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Friday. I talked about it with Dr. Glenn Tonsor. Tonsor is a professor in agriculture economics at Kansas State University. He also coordinates the monthly Meat Demand Monitor Survey. Tonsor says the latest survey shows that consumers are anxious about international trade relationships and the potential for unemployment, but they still keep buying beef.
I'll just call it the meat protein is in, right? So this broad desire to have meat protein in your diet. More and more people are telling us they self-declare as a meat consumer. The rate of vegan vegetarianism is actually declining per the MDM. So to put a bow on that is those are trends that are going, you know, they're conflicting. So far, we are seeing retail demand strength hold up. So grocery store for at home, which is consistent with the grilling, as you said, but we're seeing notable weakness in food service. So away from home consumption. And that fits the macroeconomic concern we're talking about here.
Dr. Glenn Tonsor, ag economist at Kansas State University, talking about the latest monthly meat demand monitor. You can take a deeper dive on that consumer information. Go to agmanager.info. That's agmanager.info.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Veltima fungicide is on your side to out-yield the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre, but you've never been average. Beat your own record, get every bushel you deserve, and make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
And the last member of the Wisconsin State FFA officer team was announced yesterday. Amala Draxler from Glenwood City has been named the Wisconsin Association of FFA president for 2025-2026. Her parents are Mike and Rebecca Draxler, her advisor, Kirsten Condor. If you'd like to follow up on all the FFA activities from this week's state convention, check it out, MidwestFarmReport.com, Midwest Farm Report on Facebook. That's Food News on a Friday. I'm Pam Yonke.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Partly to mostly cloudy with a chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms today. Our high in the mid to upper 60s this afternoon. Scattered storms tonight with a low in the upper 40s to low 50s. Tomorrow, scattered showers and thunderstorms with a high in the upper 60s to low 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings. But there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. Go-to for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
We need a fun listener name, something the followers of the show can call themselves. I thought, how about Couch Potatoes?
Potatoes.
I said it as a joke, and Todd cracked up. He goes, I love that. Whatever it is, folks, embrace your inner couch potato. We are not meant to work in the farms and hunt food. We were 1,000 years ago. But now, I think God wants us to sit back and be entertained.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
At 4:30, I'm joined by the ranking Democrat on the Joint Finance Committee, Senator LaTanya Johnson, to talk about the MAGA regime's denial of reality as federal budget cuts loom.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Did you know you can pod this program? Absolutely. Head over to Spotify or Apple or wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe. And that way you can listen to us on demand. Listen back to previous shows as well. We'd love to have you along as a subscriber. All right, let's bring in that Friday panel, Chicago veteran journalists Jennifer Schulze and Mark Jacob and former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. Or to be more specific about it, you can get Mark's newsletter at stopthepresses.news. You can also follow him at couriernewsroom.com. Jennifer Schulze's Indistinct Chatter is on Substack. Search for @newsjennifer. And, of course, Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel, can be heard on Saturday mornings starting at 9 on several Civic Media stations. Head to civicmedia.us to learn more. Needless to say, the big story this week has been Trump politicizing and militarizing protests against his mass deportation, which, again, took a turn that, while some people say it was expected, that, you know, you're trolling Home Depot parking lots and things like that. This was also the guy that said, well, I just want to go after the bad guys. I want to get after the criminals and the thugs. Clearly, that's not what's been happening here, Mark. And so it was surprising slash amusing to see Trump post on his little social media site yesterday that he's aware that this mass deportation thing is starting to hurt farmers, and so he's going to make some changes. Is he? And does he really understand, or was that just a bone to throw out and go, you know, I was never just going to go after the bad guys?
Well, I think that that's just a bone to throw out. I think he's just saying that to, you know, to try to keep his base in his base, you know, because I think that his base is eroding. His poll numbers are bad. And I mean, he's making a mess out of everything. And I don't think, I mean, clearly all these consequences of this immigration enforcement were easily predictable. I mean, come on. I mean, if you've got a lot of immigrants picking, you know, farm products, you know, picking crops, and they go away, you scare the hell out of them and chase them out of the country. Well, what's going to happen? You know, how's that going to affect our dinner table? You know, a lot. And so everyone knows that. And so for him to act like, you know, he just woke up a day or two ago and realized that it's going to affect the farm industry is crazy. You know, I just think that, I don't think Trump is a member of government. I don't think what I'm saying is I don't think that he's trying to govern. I think he's trying to be political, and they think he's trying to exploit government for his business, but he's not trying to implement policies that help people in any way whatsoever. It's all a matter of him trying to increase his own personal money and power any way he can.
Yes, there's a difference between those who want to govern and those who want to rule. And right. Jennifer, again, it's important to make that distinction that we're having the one discussion about mass deportations and how they're being handled versus the protests against that and how the Trump administration is covering them. And, you know, whether media is covering them as a protest or as a riot, it certainly is apparent that the Trump administration still wants to go full steam ahead, to the point where at a news conference for Homeland Secretary Kristi Noem yesterday, a U.S. senator from California wanted to talk to the secretary and was tackled and handcuffed and dragged away despite identifying himself. And while Kristi Noem essentially wasn't really telling the truth, I would argue, about the circumstances behind it. I don't think anybody should hold their breath expecting an apology, and that things like this won't happen again.
Well, she met with Padilla after the incident, and I was just reading about an interview that he gave about that meeting where he said she didn't apologize. That's not going to happen. I do think that in a normal world, somebody who was leading a press conference and is in a leadership role in the United States government would have said, hey, what's going on over there? You know, and she kept talking. She did not stop. And just so everybody's clear, she knows who Alex Padilla is. He is the chair of the subcommittee or the ranking member of the subcommittee on immigration in the United States Senate. That is the committee that deals with many of Kristi Noem's issues. She knows who he is. They've met before. When her team says he was engaging in political theater, I would argue they were engaging in political theater by pretending, oh my God, there's gambling going on here. They were, shocked that who is that? They knew who he was. She didn't try to stop it. And even as he kept saying who he was, man, if you watch that video, it's brutal.
And if it can happen to a United States senator from California, Jim, looking at this as an attorney and that people have, First Amendment rights, but if they can do this to a senator, again, you have an increasing amount of law enforcement officials that honestly, I think have a personal fork in the road they've got to come to. As far as whether they're there to uphold the law or if they are crossing the line into territory that I didn't think we'd see in this country with hidden police and acting in extra legal means.
Pat, that's one of the principal things that comes to my mind whenever I see, again, the Padilla incident. But beyond that, so many other things where you've got these masked, apparently federal officers and others who are out there executing their orders, doing what they're being told. But I do wonder, again, having worked with law enforcement, state, local, and especially federal law enforcement for the better part of 30 years, these are people who have taken an oath to defend not a president, not a governor, no one particular person, but the Constitution and basic principles about how these things are to work. You have to wonder if an awful lot of them, and we'll get another big test of that this coming weekend, if in fact there is additional involvement of law enforcement stopping these protests, have to wonder if they themselves, as they're going to work in the morning, engaging in these arrests, whether it's tackling Padilla or doing other things out there, if they are wondering inside their own cognitive analysis, what am I doing here? And it really is contrary to the basic concepts of law enforcement. Once again, to arrest somebody, to place them in custody, just a little bit of civics here again, you got a probable cause to believe that they're violating the law, that there has been some law that has been obstructed here. And again, free speech, as the judge in California just said a day or so ago, it's very strong. And all those things have got to be analysis going on inside the heads of all these law enforcement officers wondering what they're doing.
But yet some of those law enforcement officers, Mark, are targeting the journalists themselves. I mean, firing rubber bullets at reporters and camera crews, which I don't think is accidental. I think that there's a degree of state-sanctioned intimidation going on here.
Well, if you see that video of the Australian reporter and the people behind her, the law enforcement officials behind her, people behind her, shoot, that rubber bullet they shot at her, clearly there were no protesters in the area. She was doing a stand up and they're behind her and they fire at her. And it's just shocking. And I think that's one of the things that's when I think most dangerous about Trump is that he has clearly made the news media the enemy and he's made the facts the enemy. And so he's trying to get his people in law enforcement to see it the same way. And he doesn't want us to cover this kind of stuff. He wants the cruelty toward immigrants to happen without anyone paying any attention to it or cheering it on. He does not want the facts to be out there.
No. And again, that strongman thing is intentional to try to win some kind of a PR war, if you will. Jennifer, it is very easy. We've talked about AI images, social media algorithms. How did one reporter call it? Catnip for right-wing agitators. All the misinformation that's out there. Should we wring our hands about it here, or can we talk about whether there's any way around it?
I think one of many things we've learned through the Trump years is that all of us, particularly media, but everybody, need to be really careful about what images we collect and we share. And I would say with news media, again, I watched Fox, it almost killed me. And they're so selective about the pieces of video, images from LA that they take to feed their version of things. So there's a scene, if something's on fire, it doesn't matter if that one little thing is on fire over here and nothing else is happening anywhere near it, which is the case in LA. I've seen the map of where the protests are. It's like a teeny little couple blocks, and LA is huge. LA is not on fire, but Fox takes that one little clip of video of something burning, like the Waymo cars, and gives you the impression the way they treat it and how frequently they share it, that the whole city's on fire. Media collecting those images, I mean, we can't do anything about Fox. They are state media. But everybody else really needs to kind of take a beat on it. It might look really cool on television to have a little clip of fire, but if you're going to use that, you need to tell people the context and repeat it and repeat it and repeat it.
Right. Another headline in Press Watchers says, how many people were arrested is a lousy way to cover protests. That is not the barometer you should be using. And Jennifer, you point to two different headlines. One says, U.S. Marines deployed to Los Angeles to help quell anti-ICE riots. Whereas the other headline says, L.A. protests. Trump sends thousands more troops in authoritarian move. Same thing, two different ways of looking at it, folks.
Reporting on exactly the same story.
Right, yep. From an accountability standpoint, Jim, when we talk about the law enforcement officers, and I don't want to overreact here, but I also don't want to downplay this, that at some point this is all going to pass. To what degree should some of these law enforcement officers understand that there may, I would hope, will be accountability for abuses once this is all over and other people are in charge?
The United States Supreme Court has said just that, Pat. We know that there is constitutional exposure if, in fact, even under assignments, even under direction, you as a law enforcement officer, and that applies very, very broadly, you do something that violates someone else's constitutional rights. You bust down a door without a warrant, without consent. You arrest somebody without probable cause. You engage in a search of an automobile, again, without probable cause to believe that there is something in that automobile. It leads to a scintilla of evidence of a crime. You do those things, you're violating the Constitution, and you've also identified what is in the law regarded as victims of your conduct. It's called Bivens actions. It's after a Supreme Court case that says you can, in fact, file a lawsuit. Frankly, on behalf of the government, I was involved in a lot of those lawsuits, wrestling with what the parameters of that are. And there is that exposure. And it's, frankly, it can't even be monetary exposure. You can plainly get damages against the government for doing these kinds of things. And again, you look back at this Bivens case in particular, as I often do, commend reading it, because it talks about the fundamental right of law enforcement, yes, to do what it is doing to ensure safety and security, but also the right of the people not to have their basic fundamental rights of theirs trampled on by government.
For some of you, a local update is next. For others, we'll continue the conversation here, including ABC firing somebody. The headline from a Mark Jacob video, when telling the truth is a fireable offense. You can catch Jim Santel on Amicus Law Review Saturday mornings at 9, Mark Jacob's newsletter at stopthepresses.news, and Jennifer Schulze's Indistinct Chatter on Substack. Search for News Jennifer. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In discussions over the so-called Big Beautiful Bill, backed by Donald Trump, that's making its way through Congress, none other than Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson has emerged as the most prominent Republican critic of the bill, saying at a recent Milwaukee Press Club event that it is, quote, not even close to adequate. Johnson has said he wants spending cuts to go even further, including making cuts to Medicaid. But Johnson's position as a critic of this bill makes him especially influential in these negotiations. But let's not forget the last time he was in a similar position. In 2017, he was a critic of the Trump tax cut bill, but what he fought for was a tax break for certain types of businesses, perhaps not coincidentally, businesses owned by his largest donors, Dick and Liz Uihlein. In 2018 alone, the Uihleins received more than $200 million in tax breaks because of this bill. So as the Big Beautiful Bill is negotiated in the Senate, let's not forget this piece of recent history.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
State's Eric Kelder Royce.
The vast majority of people on Medicaid are already working, and it is Medicaid that makes it possible for them to work. People who are disabled or have chronic illnesses, and without that health care, they would be out of the workforce. They would have no ability to participate in the economy, and now they can. Medicaid is one of the greatest workforce programs this country has ever built, and they are trying to dismantle it, and with it, they're going to take people's lives and economic security.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Life is so strange when you don't know how can you tell where you're going to. You can't be sure of any situation. Something could change and then you won't know.
And welcome back. It is Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. The rain is falling. Yep, it's starting to come down a little bit harder outside our studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau. Temperature is 50 degrees. And what is going on here? It's like there's a lot going on. Mm-hmm. And give you the information again on the new Noel Kings rally coming tomorrow to Rib Mountain. But yesterday, I got home from work. And sometimes when I get home from work, I like to go on YouTube and just watch different things to sort of get away from it all. One of my things that I like doing is watching old Siskel and Ebert episodes.
Oh.
When they had their
movie reviewers. I remember growing up with them.
Yep. They had the movie review show that was on for more than a quarter century. And I was watching an old Siskel and Ebert episode from 1984. And one of the movies that they reviewed in that show was a 1984 Robert Altman film named Secret Honor. And it was basically the filming version of a one-man that involved Richard Nixon. And it's a movie that is very unusual that there is one character in the entire movie. It's 90 minutes of Philip Baker Hall. And he may be best known as the library cop on an episode of Seinfeld. But before that, he played Richard Nixon in this Robert Altman film named Secret Honor in 1984, where it was Richard Nixon post-presidency in his office at his New Jersey home, ranting about a number of different things, and at one point pulling a gun and putting it to his head like he was going to shoot himself. Just a very interesting movie that both Siskel and Ebert ranked as among the top 10 films of 1984. But during this original review, Gene Siskel said something that hit me right over the top of my head, as could be said today, could be said about the American people's relationship with Donald Trump. And I wanted to play this short clip back at the end of the review, where Gene Siskel said something. I thought he said this in 1984. He could have been talking about 2025. Here's what Gene Siskel said.
Now, what's the point of this film? Is it just a bait Nixon picture? Well, first of all, it is a grand entertainment. Richard Nixon, no matter whether you hate him or love him, is one of the most fascinating characters, of course, of the 20th century. And second, I think this film wants to make the point that the American public had ample opportunity to know exactly who Richard Nixon was, politically and psychologically. He'd been around for a long, long time. And therefore, anybody now pointing their finger at him ought to be accompanied by some pointing fingers at those who voted for him.
That's an excellent point.
Wow. And you could say exactly the same thing about the people of this country, the voters of this country, and Donald Trump. The people of this country have had plenty of ample opportunity to see exactly who Donald Trump is. He's been in the public consciousness for over 50 years. And I found it just, when I heard that yesterday, when I was watching this old show, it just happened to be, and again, it's just sometimes you fall upon something. The idea that, yes, Donald Trump, like Richard Nixon, I think, deserves all the pushback for their actions that they get. But at the same time, when the folks of this country went to the ballot box last November, it's not like they didn't know who Donald Trump was. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump has been Donald Trump since he came on the scene in the 1970s with his father as racist landlords. I mean, the first time that perhaps people heard of Donald Trump was when he and his father were charged with racist housing practices in New York City. And then he has continued along that route ever since. He has not been a successful businessman, despite what NBC tried to make you think during the Apprentice years. Donald Trump has been right there telling us who he's been for a lot of years. And one of the responsibilities of being part of a democracy is the responsibility of the voters, of the people. Because one of the main aspects of a democracy is to have people that are well-informed when they make decisions, whether it's decisions on who they decide to represent them or decisions in terms of referenda, whatever it may be. One of the responsibilities is for us to have enough knowledge to make smart decisions. Yeah. So I just thought Siskel in 1984, talking about Richard Nixon, instead of pointing the finger at Nixon, said, hey, Richard Nixon was a guy that had been around from the late 1940s. So the American public, when they voted him president in 1968, knew who Richard Nixon was. It's eerie. And I've talked about this previously as well, that history does repeat itself. And that if we don't learn from history, we are bound to repeat it.
It's going to be an endless cycle of this kind of stuff.
Yeah, and again, I just my jaw kind of went down when I heard that last night. It was like I said, I got to share that here today, because it's just amazing how, again, and one of the things that the mega Republicans are trying to do is to take away real history, take away real education.
Yeah.
Because they feel as though a less informed, a less educated populace is easier to take down this garden path. So, again, I love when I see something that happened, and that was, what, 84? So that means 40-some years ago, 41 years ago. Wow. I just, you know, wow. Hey, yeah. It's coming up on 8 o'clock. We'll get the latest on the Israeli airstrikes in Iran and a whole bunch more with our information update. And then another hour of Pat Kreitlow here on WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Reports. Iran's supreme leader is vowing Israel will pay heavily after its warplanes hit more than 100 military sites inside Iran, as well as the nation's nuclear program. Prime Minister Netanyahu.
The Jewish state refuses to be a victim of a nuclear holocaust perpetrated by the Iranian regime.
CBS's Robert Berger from Jerusalem.
This is not a one-off kind of a strike. This is going to come in waves with Israel attacking Iran. And certainly Iran is going to be launching ballistic missiles and drones toward Israel.
Israel says it notified the White House before the attack. Correspondent Margaret Brennan.
So far, it appears Israel's air defenses, thanks in part to American-provided equipment, they're able to repel any retaliation, responding to what Israel did overnight.
President Trump says, quote, Iran must make a deal before there's nothing left. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.